Season, because I'm joined in the studio for this month's book club by writer, freelance columnist and all-round good egg Sylvia Kent for this month's book club, along with guest writer Janet Howson. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, you did sound like Charlie's Angels.
Did we?
You remember Charlie's Angels, don't you?
Yes.
I'm like Bosley. Never mind.
Okay.
We're going to kick off with Sylvia because you're here every month with the book club,
yes,
and you always
indeed.
Bring a guest writer in with you, and we'll be talking to our guest in a little while. But tell us about Billericay Readers Groups.
Oh, readers, yes. We have some new people, which is lovely. It's nice to see it through their eyes. We're reading lots of books. We're reading Salman Rushdie's Midnight Children. I'm sure my friend Janet over there would have read this. But we're also reading C.J. Cook's I Know My Name, and Bird Cage Walk by Helen Dunmore. And I think she's one of your favourites,
yes,
Janet, isn't
yes,
she?
Yeah.
We love her. I've been reading a new book, which is out tomorrow, called The Dead Ex.
The title alone would draw me to that book.
Mm. Yes, and it starts off beautifully, all about aromatherapy at the beginning, and then the story goes, and you just keep turning. I can read a book fairly quick. I have to read books fairly quickly because I have so many, but I do try to absorb, try not to read when I'm tired. But this one is going very quickly.
Is it a thriller? Is it got any comedy in it, or is it mainly quite serious?
No, and it's by Jane Corry, one of our long-standing members of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, and you know that I care for them very much. And tomorrow we have our AGM, and we have our lovely Anita Sackett, who was a guest here a few years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's going to be our main speaker tomorrow, and we're looking forward to all going up to London and having fun. So we're reading lots of different books. We're meeting tomorrow in London. I'm writing still, working on some permaculture, which I don't suppose you know about, do
no,
you?
No. It's not to do with perming hair, is it?
No. Sorry. No, it's to do with, it sounds odd, but saving money, saving time in the kitchen. You've got some stuff that I made the other day. Yeah,
we're
doing that.
Just move that over
and
here.
It's really saving the planet, I suppose.
Are you writing a book on this subject?
Well, I'm writing a series of articles that have been commissioned, so it's working in the kitchen quite a lot, and making my wine, of course.
Yes.
Because that is lovely, especially if all the fruit is your own, and you put all your own stuff in, you've got no funny ingredients, so we know that they're good and sound. And yes, the Brentwood Writers Circle is going very well. Lots of success. Janet is one of our newest members, so we're trying to encourage her, get her out and about and meeting some of these people. But she's already meeting them in Basildon. Mm. So she'll tell you a bit about the fellow, again, another member who came on, Colin Payne, who started
it.
Yes, and lots of our other friends. But, you know, she's working hard, and now it's time perhaps to find out what she's all about.
So, good morning to Janet Howson.
Hello.
Morning. Just see you, move back so I can get your eye line. Now, you've recently started to write again after a long break.
Yeah.
So you've had quite a long break. So you also taught drama and English.
I did, yes. I taught drama and English in comprehensive schools up to A level. And for a long time, this has satisfied all my artistic, creative needs, as I wrote scripts, I directed numerous plays, and the energy needed to teach, rehearse, continually think of new ideas was quite enough without them writing for my own pleasure.
Mm.
But now I'm retired, and I can write what I've always wanted to write and experiment with such literature like short stories, which I've never, ever done before. I've not even attempted. So, and then hopefully I want to turn the stories into scripts to hear them read by actors, and even performed as a whole play would be probably, you know, my ultimate aim.
I was going to say, when you do you have to sit there? Obviously, you're a drama teacher.
Yeah.
You've been a drama teacher. But when people are writing, or if they're at home and they're thinking, oh, I've got a script in my head, what sort of advice can you give to people?
It depends who you're actually writing it for, because my scripts were all for teenagers, because obviously that was the age group that I was actually writing for. And then it would depend whether you wanted to write comedy, which is the hardest, whether you just wanted to write a straight drama. I think one thing straight away is don't make it too long. I think with any script, especially if you're writing for an amateur group, you know, it really is best to stick to a shorter length. And then you've got to think about what audience you're going to actually present it to. And then you go from there, really, which I did in a sense, because I looked at who I was going to have acting. So other way round, really. I looked at who I was going to have acting in it and what will be interesting to that age range, which was teenagers, and what subject matter. Generally speaking, I would always advise to do something topical, because then that's interesting. And some subjects never die. You know, you can watch a play by playwrights. Well, Shakespeare. And you can listen to Shakespeare, and it's still relevant today.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to some Oscar Wilde, people like that, still very, very relevant today.
Mm.
And so that's what I would actually say. Also, although there's room for it, I would always avoid the massive monologues unless it's going to be just something that's a one-hander, or I've seen people do one-handers in a whole play. It's got to be enjoyable, because it's a communicative art, and unless you can communicate with your audience, unless you can interest your audience and they understand it. I went to a play, I'm not going to name it, the other day, and I came out and I thought 90% of that audience would not have understood what was happening on that stage. And then that becomes self-indulgent, and that's something that you really need to avoid is self-indulgence in jokes, things that nobody else would understand. But otherwise, as I say, write it so people will enjoy it.
Why is it so difficult to write comedy?
Because comedy is a personal thing. That some people will laugh at some sorts of humour and others will laugh at other sort of humour. I mean, the hardest job, I personally would say, and I've heard it said by loads of other people, is the stand-up comedian. That has got to be the hardest job in entertainment in the world, because you can die on your feet.
I
think with comedy the same. I don't know whether you've ever been to what has been named a comedy, and you're waiting to laugh, and actually there doesn't seem anything funny in it. But I think that is why, because you're aiming to produce an emotion from people that might not happen, because they actually don't have that sense of humour. So personally, I think it is, unless you're terribly talented at it, unless it comes naturally. You are funny. And then if you are funny, then, you know, it's
it
going
builds,
to be.
It builds, doesn't
it? You know, if you're Spike Milligan writing his little books, then it's going to be funny. You know, if you are a script, if you know, like the two Ronnies, you know, then... then there's no problem. But a lot of people find it very, very difficult to write comedy.
Well, Michelle's written.
I try, but it's very... I normally get about 3 or 4 pages in, and then I get bored myself.
And then we serve lunch.
Because it's one of those things. We all think, oh, we've got a book in us. And then we start writing, and then we get to about 4 pages, and then we go, I think I've written the whole story. That's the story of my life on 4 pages. It's done. Or write from experience, as we said before, if you're going to write something. Because I love reading thrillers, and I like reading detectives, but because I've never had that background, when I tried to do, this is years ago, I tried to write something like that. If you don't have that background, it's like saying you're a forensic scientist. and you're not, so you have to study if you want to write in a certain genre.
Which research?
Research. That's the word I was looking for.
We have to do that. Even non-fiction, you know, we have to research. And that's what you learn if you come to our clubs.
Now, you said here you're an avid reader yourself.
Yes.
And you read 3 novels a month.
I do. At the least, minimum. That's minimum. Yes.
And who are some of your favourite writers?
Well, I've got a little list here. But it's too numerous in a sense to mention. So these are ones that just went into mm. my, popped into my head. I started with Margaret Atwood. I've just recently, yes. she came to
you
London.
You met her?
And, well, not met her. She did a talk at Drury Lane Theatre. And she was absolutely wonderful, but, you know, absolutely brilliant. So Margaret Atwood, Victoria Hislop.
Oh, yes.
Sarah Waters, yes. Elizabeth Strout. You know, and I am Lucy Barton.
Don't know her.
Oh, yes. Because I was just going to say, actually, when you were talking about writing a life story, this particular book is about somebody who writes. And at one point, she meets another authoress who really has a big influence on her. And she was saying that everybody has actually only got one story.
Mm. Gosh.
And that is written in all different yes. ways, but yes. it's still your story.
Your story.
Really.
Yes.
And you were saying the same. People write about themselves a lot, yeah. Yeah. and then yeah. that is that was in that book.
We'll put that on our reading list.
Oh,
because
yes.
We're always
it's very,
asking.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Helen Dunmore.
Oh, yes.
Which
Phil
yes, just
yes,
mentioned.
Yes,
and
yes.
I have literally just. Read the book that you mentioned,
yes.
which was wonderful. Mm. Barbara Kingsolver.
Yes.
Poisonwood
yes,
Bible and all those sort of things. But in case you think it's just female writers, I do like other. I do like Ian McEwan.
Yes.
Alan Bennett I love.
Yes, yes.
Alan Bennett I do love. And Roald Dahl as the master of the short story I love as well. But I read... Because I'm in two book clubs, I read books that they recommend as well. And that's when you meet so many other authors, really, by reading things that you wouldn't have even pulled off the bookshelf.
Yes.
Or sometimes I go into Wetherspoons and read through them and see what's recommended there. But I remember when I was doing my teacher's training, I did as a side... course, children's reading, children's literature, and there's two ladies there that were teaching it, and one of them said, and I remember this to this day, you're never lonely if you've got a book.
Yes, true. Yeah.
And
that's
I thought,
true.
What a lovely, lovely phrase, and it's so true,
because
you can be on your own anywhere, but you're not with a book.
Yes. Yeah, and it has to be a proper book.
Yes, and that was something that now, do you remember Frances Clamp came not so long ago?
Yep,
she writes for children.
Yes.
And has a trio of lovely books.
Yeah.
And, and still writing. She's our president, by the way, at Brentwood. And, children's writer. She's excellent.
Yes.
You are also a member, Janet, of the Brentwood Writer Circle and Basildon Writers Groups.
I am.
How have they helped?
Enormously. When all this sort of inspiration came back that I wanted to write, I went online, as you do, and found the Brentwood one, went down, and the first time I went, it was a full day with lunch and everything. It was really very nice, but it's who you meet. For instance, Sylvia over here, and Colin, and Dawn Knox, and other people like that. A load of people, Frances herself, and just... talking to them is so encouraging, really, and the amount of information I got just on the first meeting was just mind-blowing, to be quite honest. And so it's only once a month, which is a shame in a way. I'd like something like that every week. And they have speakers who are authors, and they give all their background and their history and what they're writing, and I'm scribbling away with little notes as they're talking, and links to things and what to do, and you know how long a short story is, and if you're entering something, how long it should be, and editing it and how to save it and everything, printing and silly things like I never realised on Word as you were writing, it showed how many words you were writing at the left-hand side. Never even realised that because I'm counting them.
Yes. Oh.
You know, silly things like that. And then Colin asked if I'd like to come along to the Basildon group, and that's different because there's just a small number of people around a table. I mean, maximum, I think, probably about 12 since I've been there. And you're allowed a certain amount of time to read, something, but the most important thing is the critique they give you.
Yeah.
So it's constructive criticism, and they don't pull punches, and they tell you blah de blah what's right, what they think's wrong, whether they like it or whether they don't.
Yeah.
And so you're listening to them, they're listening to you, and it's just a wonderful evening.
That's nice to hear. Very, very informative. Yeah, very nice to hear.
Now, you've written three short stories and a children's narrative poem, which you're looking to get illustrated. So tell us about those.
Right, well, the short stories, one is about a retired lady who takes a voluntary job in a charity shop. Now, I'm developing this, but I can't develop it any further until we were talking research earlier. I need to get a job in a charity shop one day a week for a while, and so that I am more convinced, you know, more convinced of what is happening, more, you know, the stories will come out. Mm. But that was spurred by just a comic situation one day. I walked into a charity shop, I picked something up, and I was getting my money out and everything, and she was wrapping up the gloves I'd put on the counter on my own.
Oh, right.
And it just made me laugh so much that I thought there's got to be
could
loads
have fun
of
with
situations
that.
Mm.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I put that in.
Bit of humour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I've written one rather large chapter. Mm. But when I read it out at Basildon, they said that would be so good as a play.
Mm.
Which is strange, isn't it? Mm. Because that's where I come from.
Yeah.
So whether I sort of think script-like, I don't know. So that's one of them. The other one, and I think Sylvia's heard this one, was about a lady who actually put on a 65th and a wedding anniversary party for some friends.
Oh, yes.
And it ended in a rather disastrous way.
Yeah. Oh, be careful. A spoiler coming up.
I won't say, but that is a short story. But I had to cut it down viciously because I had to read it. When I read it out at Brentwood, it had to be 1,000 words, and it's way over 1,000 words. But I slaughtered it to get it there.
Yeah.
Another one I'm working on at the moment. Trouble is, I keep getting different ideas. I must remember to finish one before I start another. Is about a teacher and the load on a teacher. Yeah. And this was spurred by my husband one day coming down on Christmas morning. The kids were very, very young, and I was marking a pile of books.
Mm.
And he went, "This is just ridiculous," because you mark all the time, because I taught drama and English. It was forever and ever. And I'm writing a story based on that. Mm. And the other was inspired. My daughter now lives in Australia. And every time I go, I'm just more and more fascinated about the history. People say Australia haven't got history. Yes, they have.
Mm.
They've got a wonderful history, which involves these Aborigines, etc., and everything that happened to them. And it was how people came to their land, this beautiful land, and, you know, for good or bad reasons, took it off them, you know. And it's, but instead it's for children, and instead it's all about these beautiful beasts that live on this island, and these people come in, these men come in and try and take over. But and I'm hoping I finish that. That's all done.
Send it off.
I have to ask Sylvia where to send it to.
She knows everything.
Now, we're going to quickly have a quick chat with Sylvia, because we've only got a short amount of time before we go to the news. You were saying about the writers' group.
Yes, I don't think Janet can come, but we do have a very special speaker on the 7th of July, Robert Hallman. Not only is he a great author, he's a photographer, and he's got work on show at Essex Galleries. I think it's the Beecroft, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, come to us at Brentwood as a guest to our writers' group, which is at Bardswell Social Club, off Weald Road. 60 strong membership, so there's quite a lot of people there, male, female, and they're all very friendly, and they want to help and be helped. How about that? It's what we're all about, isn't it? Short stories, novelists, journalists, and come along.
Thank you both for coming in today. It's lovely to meet you.
Very good. Thank you.
Lovely voice for radio.
She has.
You've got a very good voice. I mean, you can tell she's been in drama, yeah. You see. I could never do drama because I talk too quickly and I can't get my words. I think it's because my tongue is so big.
You're okay.